in Ireland. John, Saturday night, Rajon Rondo's brother was ejected from the Lakers-Rockets game. William Rondo, who had been assigned by the league to supervise the barbers and manicurists inside the bubble, was heckling Russell Westbrook. Russ approached the sidelines, and he could be heard saying, "Who you talking to? Who's that? Get the F out of here." After the kerfuffle, Robert Rondo was escorted from the arena. Now, after the game, Westbrook said, quote, "People at the game, you're supposed to shut your mouth and watch the game. That's the rules, especially when you have families and people here." John, should Robert Rondo be ejected from the bubble altogether?
Okay, so you know I love Westbrook, right?
Yes.
He's like my favorite guy.
Yes.
UCLA guy, plays really hard, love him. Isn't he guilty here of a little bit of the Kevin Durant rabbit ears?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never met, is it Robert Rondo?
Robert Rajon's
Rondo, brother?
Yeah.
I've never met Robert. I actually saw a videotape of what he was doing. Mace, this was so tame.
Yeah.
This, to answer your question, he should absolutely not be thrown out of anything. I think they asked him to leave the bubble down there just so they could get a handle on things. They're trying to keep the bubble a kind of a low pressure. You know,
wait a minute. Did they ask him to leave the bubble?
Yeah, yeah. They asked him to walk out, just to walk into the back to get him out of Westbrook's sight line.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. And again, I love Russ, but I'm not even sure they should have done that. He was just doing like the Damian Lillard wave goodbye
wave,
to him.
Yeah.
And I've never understood when players get, unless you're like yelling something highly personal about someone's mother or wife or child.
Yeah, right.
Why would you even pay attention to it? I think Russ was a little guilty of, you know, his season was going down the drain. The Lakers were about to eliminate them and send them home. Mike D'Antoni quit the next day.
Yeah.
I think Russ let the situation get the best of him. And I didn't think that was a very good look for Westbrook. What did you think?
Totally agree. By the way, people at the game, you're supposed to shut your mouth and watch the game. Since when is that a thing?
Well, I think it may be in the bubble, but this guy was not being demonstrative or even being
He was waving.
Yeah.
He was waving and Westbrook went after him. Yeah, I think that Westbrook was in the wrong. John, I think there was a lot of frustration boiling over. They were getting blown out
too.
In that game.
Yeah.
Westbrook was looking for somebody to take it out on, and it happened to be Robert Rondo who just waved to him. So, yeah, I don't think the ejection was warranted. I understand why they did it, just to get him out of the building, but I don't think he should be ejected from the bubble, and don't think he has been.
No, I don't think he has been either. And by the way, Rajon credits him for helping him get through the bubble experience. And how great has Rondo been in the bubble?
Oh, fantastic.
I would hate to see anything happen to his brother because whatever routine Rajon has come up with, he's been great. So, Robert, keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm glad you're down there. Okay, Mace. As part of NFL pregames this season, the home teams are playing two songs.
Okay.
The national anthem and Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is a video done by Alicia Keys. That song is accompanied by a video celebrating social justice. In that video are both Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed, two players who believe they've been blackballed for taking a stand on social justice issues. I think the league figured that putting those two in the video was a step forward, acknowledging that they were doing some good. But Reed yesterday criticized the NFL's social justice campaign this season, calling it, quote, half-hearted at best. And he says the league's use of video of Colin Kaepernick kneeling while the quarterback remains unsigned is, quote, diabolical, unquote. Kaepernick then criticized the league for not signing Reed, who I was surprised. Do you know how old Eric Reed is?
No.
He's only 28.
Oh, wow.
And he had career best numbers last year, 130 tackles, 97 solo, and 4 sacks. And here's my question. If the NFL doesn't recognize Kaepernick and Reed in their social justice campaign, the campaign comes off as hollow. But can they do that if the players don't want to be a part of the NFL unless they are signed? What should the NFL do moving forward?
I don't think that they should use Eric Reed or Colin Kaepernick in that video because those are examples of where the league has gone wrong. And being in a video does not make up for not having a job at all. And that's the case with both Eric Reid and with Colin Kaepernick. So I understand why Eric Reid is upset about it. I understand why Colin Kaepernick is upset about it. I don't think they should be used as props in this social justice awareness, which I think the league, by the way, is doing a pretty good job. I think the league has been very outspoken and has been very solid in terms of dealing with racial injustice. But don't use Colin Kaepernick. Don't use Eric Reid. Don't you use guys who are blackballed from the league and are victims, really, of racial injustice.
Completely agree with you. I don't think you can include those players in your campaign without their permission. And the minute they're criticizing you for being in it, you got to take them out. So I'd be surprised if either one of them are still in the video by this Sunday.
If I can jump in really quick,
yeah,
on this,
please, of course.
I think there's a huge disconnect between, you know, the league and the overall, like, general, you know, social justice initiatives, and then the people that are making such videos. Because I happen to know the person who made this video, who was the executive producer on the video, Anthony Smith. We had him on our show.
Yeah, he was
like
really
two
good.
2 months ago. Yeah. He was one of the people that, like, led the team that put this together, and he's super proud of it. He posted it on Facebook, like, right after it debuted. And I was like, I saw that, and I knew that you did that. And he's somebody who, you know, he does these beautiful pieces that have to do with social justice and, like, the culture around the NFL.
Right,
and the
players. Lindsay, I'm sure he wouldn't have put those two guys in there unless he was told, hey, make sure you include them. This had to be a conscious decision from the top of the league, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a good point, but I think that's something where, again, I don't think that, you know, I think that somewhere there's a disconnect between what they're trying to do and then, like, just pacifying people. You know what I mean?
Would you include those? Would you leave those two guys in the video?
I would.
Really?
You would, even though they don't want to be in it.
What I would try and do is repair that relationship and reach out
to
them. Well,
that's obviously the best. Yeah, the best course of action would be re-sign those two and show in the video them running out on the tunnel with their new team. That would be the win-win. But apparently, like, the Eric Reid thing makes no sense.
None.
130 tackles, 97 solo,
yep.
28 years old, when so many different teams need secondary help. Look at the passing numbers this weekend from guys like Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, quarterbacks are carving up the league more than they've ever done. There's
sure.
going to be a record number of passing yards this year. If there's a 28-year-old with 130 tackles, a 97 solo as a defensive back, I would sign him almost sight unseen. So somebody should wake up and call Eric Reid and give
him a Lindsay, job. Let me ask you something. You use the word pacify. Do you think the league's social justice efforts are real, a real protest for racial justice, or is this just a way to pacify NFL players who are upset about police brutality and systemic racism?
I feel like the fact that the owners, you know, they end up at the end of the day, they make, like, the final call on things. And a lot of the owners don't seem to, like, still don't seem to get it. Like Jerry Jones, for example, he's more worried about fans not watching the games because of the protests and the political aspect than he is about, you know, actually doing what's best and what's right for his players.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of, in a way, it's kind of like half-assed, I guess.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think you're the only one that feels that way.
I think you're appropriately on target there.
Mate,
all right. Yes,
it's you.
There is a very expensive design company called Kloos. I may or may not be saying it right.
Okay.
And they are teaming up with Tom Brady on a new collection of sunglasses. Now, the Kloos times Brady collection features blue light glasses and sunglasses, with each frame made from environmentally friendly biodegradable material. It's inspired by the quarterback's taste for minimalistic, timeless designs and a holistic approach to health and wellness. John, the result is a collection of really, really, really expensive sunglasses with magic lenses that will degrade naturally if they're thrown in a dump, apparently.
Okay.
Yada, yada.
Yeah.
Really expensive.
Yeah.
Are you in on Tom Brady's sunglasses? And what kind of person buys Tom Brady stuff from his TB12 website?
To answer your first question, am I in on the Tom Brady sunglasses?
Yeah, are you in? You in?
Hell no. I'm not buying avocado ice cream. I'm not buying TB12 underwear. I'm not buying biodegradable sunglasses. Who might be in is Lisa Ireland, who owns more pair of sunglasses than any human being I know. And when I complain to her that she's spending too much money on sunglasses, her line to me is simply, well, you know, they're not all going to make it. Now, what does that mean?
She just means she's going to lose them. Everybody loses sunglasses,
yeah,
right?
So, apparently. So she has enough pair. It's kind of her thing. She's got like, I have no idea how many. I own one pair of sunglasses. I own
Me
a pair
too.
Of Ray-Bans.
One pair.
If I lose them, I will go get another pair.
Sounds like she's the Imelda Marcos of sunglasses.
100%.
Yeah.
So she might invest in the Tom Brady biodegradable sunglasses, but I think it's all a big scam.
What about the TB12 trucker cap? Do you like that?
Hell no.
It's only $50.
What?
Yep, $50 for a trucker hat.
What?
Yeah. He sells some of that stuff you like rollers that vibrate and stuff like that. He sells stuff like that, but
I've already got a roller that vibrates. I don't need the TB12 edition of that.
A lot of this is
go
the
to
Tom
Hyper
Brady
Ice.
Pseudoscience, made up BS. I just can't stand that aspect of Tom. It's
yeah.
to you.
Okay, Mace, your girl. Tiger King fame seeker Carol Baskin.
Carol!
Made her dancing debut last night on Dancing with the Stars.
What did all her cats and kitties think?
Carol earned the lowest score of the night
no.
out of the 15 celebrity contestants. She received an 11 out of 30 points for her dance.
Wow.
Which was performed to the tune Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, that's so great.
Judges Carrie Ann Inaba and Derek Huff both gave her 4 out of 10, while Bruno Ooh. Tagnoli gave her just 3 out of 10 points. Now, let's say she gets voted off this week, which she should.
Okay.
Is this the end of her 15 minutes of fame? Or can she
No.
milk this for another few months?
There are two movies coming out about Tiger King. There's one feature film and there's one Netflix series, the one produced by Kate McKinnon, where Kate McKinnon plays Carol Baskin. No, Carol Baskin is on the rise. Her
God.
Profile has never been higher.
Oh, she fed her husband to the tigers.
She's being played by Kate McKinnon.
Yeah,
tell me you don't want to see that. Tell me you're not going to watch Kate McKinnon play Carol Baskin.
I watch everything Kate McKinnon does. I'd
yes.
watch Kate McKinnon read a phone book.
So is she over? Is Carol Baskin over?
I hope so.
No, you're going to watch the movie.
Wait. Speaking of Carol Baskin, remember how yesterday I said in Radio Tinder I told you guys about the commercial?
Yes.
That her missing husband.
Did you see it?
Yeah, we actually have the audio, which is quite funny if you
Jorge, do you have it? Now this way, okay. So Jorge, before you play it, this was I mentioned that there are many people that believe, including both Mason and I,
yeah,
that she fed her first husband to a bunch of tigers and he was eaten by the tigers.
I have no doubt about it.
The family of the guy that supposedly allegedly got fed to the tigers bought time and made a commercial and aired it during Dancing with the Stars last night. And here's what that commercial sounded like.
I'm Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family. And to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters, and we miss our dad.
I'm Donna. I'm Don Lewis's oldest daughter. We need to know what happened to our father.
I'm Ann, Don's former assistant. All we're asking is justice for Don.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers. They deserve justice. Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded. You can call the tip line at 646-450-6530.
Or call our office at 800-LITIGATE. Thank you.
So there you have it.
$100,000. Let's solve this, man.
Yeah. If anybody has any information,
do you know if anyone who have any information or know if Carol Baskin was involved? Like, I think that's great.
I want the $100,000.
I hope they find out she did it. That would get her off Dancing with the Stars.
She's getting voted off anyway. 11 out of 30.
But remember, John, it's don't people vote?
Yes.
So couldn't the people save her?
Yes, but 11 out of 30 is worse than Keyshawn. And Keyshawn got voted off the first week.
And Keyshawn was gone almost right away.
Right.
All right. Well, there you have it. There's Carol Baskin. There is Carol Baskin. All right. Coming up next for you, we will circle back to the big...
Hey, Steve.
Hey, John. Hey, Steve. Bob Nightingale is going to join us. We'll talk about the brand new playoff bubble for the Major League Baseball playoffs, and also Padres-Dodgers. Padres won last night, pulled to within a game and a half of the Dodgers in the West. Bob Nightingale is next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. It is, let's see, what is it? It's Tuesday, and we're getting ready for the Eastern Conference Finals game number one, Boston versus Miami. We've got that coming up for you at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Still to come this hour, we're going to do Game of Games. But right now, let's check in on the Dodgers and the brand new Major League Baseball playoff system using bubbles. Bob Nightingale joins us from USA Today. Hey, Bob, how are you, man?
Yeah, doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Bob. Hey, and before we get into the Dodgers and the bubble, I just saw this breaking news story that the Mariners-Giants game tonight has been canceled. Bob, that has nothing to do with COVID, right? Is that strictly air quality in Seattle?
Yeah, just air quality. They almost didn't play last night, and both teams are complaining about it, Oakland and Seattle. So, yeah, both teams are flying to San Francisco and probably play those games tomorrow on Thursday at the Giants' home ballpark at Oracle Park.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. With no fans, you don't have to worry about tickets and all that stuff. You can just move it that way. All right, so let's first of all, before we get to the bubble, ask you about this Dodgers-Padres series. Last night it was all Padres. The Dodgers didn't look like themselves. How concerned should Dodger fans be about the Padres sneaking up and stealing this division?
Well, you know, this is a year doesn't matter if you win the division or you're, you know, second place team, as long as you you have the home field just out of comfort for the first round, then there's no home field after that anyway. So if you're not going to win the division, this is the year not to do it.
Right.
There's really no disadvantage. There isn't. As long as you win the top four teams and get to, you know, have your own clubhouse and stuff like that. So, yeah, maybe there's some concerns otherwise, you know, once they're in the playoffs, you know, particularly that rotation and everything else. But, yeah, no concerns with the Padres. Really, it's just for bragging rights.
So, Bob, it's for bragging rights, but then it's not, right? Because the Dodgers and the Padres, if they both win their three-game series in the first round of the playoffs, they would meet in the National League Divisional Series in what would be a real showdown. Because I love the Padres pitching. Lamet, who threw last night. Clevenger's great. Paddock is great. I mean, I think that's a really evenly matched series. Who do you give the edge to in a series between the Dodgers and the Padres?
I would still give it to the Dodgers, just with all the experience. You know, Padres, you know, they haven't been to the playoffs since, 2006. So, you know, now there's pressure and everything else. I still like the Dodgers over everybody, really. I know they're having some hiccups right now. But it seems like even the regular seasons, the Dodgers go through that, you know, where they've had some bad stretches in September and tapping in. And then when the playoffs start, you know, then back to being the same, you know, good team.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today is joining us. Bob, explain to us now, even if the Dodgers and the Padres meet, and strangely, there may be baseball going on at those stadiums, it will be the American League in California, and the National League would be in Texas. The Dodgers and Padres would play that series probably in Houston?
Yes, absolutely. The division series, yeah, it would be that division series would probably be in Arlington. But, yes, NLCS will definitely be in the Arlington. And, the reason they did that, because they didn't want anybody to have home field advantage. So they wanted a straight neutral site. So the fact the Dodgers are going to be the playoffs and the Padres, they wanted to make sure to, you know, shift the AL to Texas. In the same way in reverse. They didn't want the Houston Astros to have home field advantage by playing games there. So that's where they're having the American League, you know, go to Southern California.
Hey, let me ask you a question specifically about the Dodgers. It is unbelievable the struggles of Cody Bellinger this year coming off an MVP season. He apparently took a new batting stance or worked on a new batting stance during this offseason, and obviously it hasn't worked. He's batting 215 with a 707 OPS. What do you make of Cody Bellinger? What do you think is wrong with him?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a if it's a confidence thing or what. Remember even last year he kind of had that kind of a nosedive in September. Then he seemed to be fine at the very end. So I think it's just more of a confidence thing right now. To keep changing things up and doing that. But with him, it's still he was missing some fastballs. Late in those things. No scouts have mentioned that, but I don't know any prime reason why this is happening.
Bob, if the Dodgers make it to the World Series, who are they likely to face? Beginning of the year, we all thought Yankees. Mason asked me last week, pick your team to come out of the American League. I said, I think it's the A's, and then Matt Chapman looks like he's out for the season, who is arguably their best player. In your mind, who's now the favorite to come out of the American League?
Yeah, that's my preseason pick was Dodgers and A's. When you mentioned 88, I'll stick with it. You have to change your chess score.
Right.
But the probably right now on paper, the team that beat in the American League might be the Tampa Rays. Tampa Bay's playing very good baseball. And, man, they beat up the Yankees all season long. I think of all the teams, they're the scariest team. And, a team like the White Sox kind of remind you of the Padres. Like, okay, a lot of young people doing this. They're arriving a year earlier. So the White Sox can scare people too, but I'm not sure about that starting rotation.
You didn't mention the Indians, which is the team I actually like to come out of the American League. Shane Bieber's been ridiculous this year. Carrasco, Plesac complete a really good rotation. Lindor's been great. Fermil Reyes has had a big year. I really like the Indians to come out of the American League. What do you think?
They sort of have a chance. You kind of raise your eyebrows the way they're playing right now. And they got beat up pretty good by the Twins, where they've lost five or six straight now. That offense is just, really struggling. But, yeah, they scare you for sure. I mean, nobody want to face the Indians that first round, like you said, with the, Bieber and Carrasco going 1-2. They can beat anybody. If you're a National League team, too, the team you don't want to see is the Cincinnati Reds. You don't want to see them, squeak in. We can have a guy like a Trevor Bauer and a Sonny Gray go 1-2.
Bob, last thing from me. When you look at the Dodgers, if you were going to pick an Achilles heel, I think it would probably be closer. Kenley Jansen blew a game to the Astros over the weekend in a nationally televised game. It was very reminiscent of some of the struggles he's had
painful in
the past couple of postseasons. Do you look at the Dodgers bullpen as something that's secure? I mean, they do have a lot of arms. They seem to be married to Jansen for now, or is that a potential problem moving forward?
Well, it's always a potential problem. It was a problem last year too. When they were doing that. You look at the Brewers. You just never know. Look at the Brewers, Josh Hader. I mean, the Washington Nationals lost that wild card game if Hader didn't blow it, and Hader's arguably the best closer in all of baseball. I think the it's a concern. I think a bigger concern is just the rotation. Making sure Walker Buehler is healthy. They need a healthy Buehler. Getting rid of the blister problems, mm-hmm. To make a long run, I believe.
All right, so it has come out that baseball is now on track for this bubble situation. Talk about the decision that led into that, and does it make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. As Dan Halen, the deputy commissioner, explained to all the clubs that, hey, of all the positive tests we've had this year, you can trace them back to family members. So we don't want you to be around the family members this last week of the regular season. So it doesn't matter if you're home or road. They want you to stay in hotels, get tested every day. And if your family wants to join you during the postseason, they got to go through a 7-day isolation thing. If you get some kind of special permission to stay at home and not the hotel the final week, no one's allowed to leave the house. You can go to the ballpark, the player can, but the kids can't go to school, the wife can't work, nothing like that. So during the postseason, they're going to have, you know, security guards at every hotel monitoring, make sure that nobody goes anywhere. They don't even want anybody to leave the hotel, you know, unless you're going to the park. I think they said they might let family members have a, you know, walk around the hotel, but really not leave the property.
All right. Hey, listen, Bob, thank you very much. Great information, as always, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Thanks, Steve. See you, John.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, there's Bob Nightingale from USA Today. The playoff bubble makes perfect sense to me. It sounds, boy, they're going to be strict, though, 7 days quarantine in order to get into the bubble if you're a family member, a wife, or a kid.
Well, they're taking that page out of the NBA's book, and well, look how great it worked in the NBA.
Worked perfectly, absolutely. The NBA, in many ways, has been the canary in the coal mine, and everybody has followed and followed successfully so far. All right, so, John, tonight... hey, Jorge, do you have the Clippers theme song one more time? There it is.
That's just
far.
They haven't even lost yet.
Wherever you are. The Clipperiest Clipper thing ever would be if they lose tonight. That would be so Clippery in a game
losing.
Seven. Here's the question.
They're not losing this game.
Here's the question. Would you rather... We're going to play a game of would you rather.
Okay.
Would you rather the Lakers face the Clippers, in other words, Clippers win tonight, because you get the big showdown you've been waiting for, the hallway series, or would you rather Denver win and have a much cleaner shot to the championship?
I have a weird answer to this question.
Cool.
I'll give it to you next.
And we'll also sneak in a call or two about it. 877-710-ESPN. Do you want Lakers-Clippers, or do you want the Lakers to have a cleaner shot to the title by facing Denver in the Western Conference Finals? 877-710-ESPN. Also got Game of Games coming up for you. Then at 3 o'clock, we will kick it over to Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics versus Heat. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN. 710-ESPN, Mason, Ireland. Tuesday afternoon, thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much. We appreciate you migrating with us from afternoon drive to the place where we always have enjoyed doing the show, which is middays from 1 to 4. Now, I threw out a question there. The Nuggets will play the Clippers tonight in a dramatic Game 7. The winner of tonight's game will play the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals starting on Friday. Now, we've heard so much about the Clippers and the Super Team and Kawhi and all that stuff. And, of course, they've never been to the Western Conference Finals before. This would be a first time. Wouldn't it be so Clippery if they screwed it up, John? It'd be the Clipperiest Clipper thing ever.
They're not going to screw it up. The Clippers are going to win.
But who would you rather the Lakers play?
Okay, so this is where this gets interesting. I've been clamoring for the hallway series for years.
Yes.
Ever since Mike Dunleavy put Daniel Ewing in cold off the bench.
Daniel Ewing.
And deprived us of it.
Which
of
he still defends to this day.
Yeah. That's true. Mike's a great guy, but he will defend that decision. So I want the hallway series. I really do.
Oh, come on.
I want to see it. But
I want the championship.
But.
Okay.
I think the fact that that we can't go, that there is no hallway for
us
LA
to cross.
Fans and media, and that the Clipper fans can't sell all their tickets to the Laker fans, so the Lakers would have 7 home games because the Clippers always sell their tickets for the Laker games.
Yes.
I think when the game starts tonight, I think I will be glued to my giant TV for Mirror Audio Video in Westwood.
Yep.
And I'm rooting for the Nuggets.
Yes! Now you're talking.
I think it's just a really cool story. But
now you're talking.
But having said that, I'm rooting for the Nuggets.
Then Lakers in 5.
Clippers will win.
I think Nuggets win, and then it's Lakers in 5 in the Western Conference Finals. I'll go out on a
limb. Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah.
But you did bet $5,000 on the Nuggets, and you're getting 7.5.
Is 7.5 points.
Mythical money.
Not bad. Not bad.
Okay, so let's find out what the people think. Here's David in Chatsworth. David, you're on 710 ESPN. What happens tonight, and what do you want to happen tonight?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big fan.
Thanks, David.
Definitely want the Clippers to win for bragging rights. We got to get on Marcellus, and I want to be able to say we took down Patrick Bev, you know what I mean, Paul George, L.A. guy. So it's not going to feel right. If Clippers lose, they're going to be able to say, oh, we would have won, you know, you guys wouldn't have gone to the finals. So
we would have won. They will have lost. How could they? How can they say they would have won?
I think if they lose tonight, it will be radio silence in Clipperland. I think all these experts who picked the Clippers will be hiding under a rock.
I can see that iceberg right now.
Marcellus
that Clipper
Wiley
ship is going after that iceberg.
Will mysteriously leave all of his social media accounts.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So, David, I don't think you're going to see a lot of people making excuses if the Clippers lose. I think, Mace, they can't lose. It's too
important. They can.
It's too. Was it you yesterday?
They can blow a lead with the best of them.
Was it you yesterday that said the NBA will never let it happen? Now, I, you know me.
Yeah, by the way, if this goes down tonight, if what I see is officiating that is biased toward the Clippers, that is a, to quote a former Lakers head coach, that would be a shamocracy. That would be a shamocracy. I don't think that it's right if the Clippers get all the star calls tonight and Denver gets no help at all from the officials. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen, that Adam Silver has his thumb on the scale. Do you think Adam Silver has his thumb on the scale, John?
I do not.
I think he – well, we'll find
Why
out.
Why would he kneecap his own game seven? You know me. I love a conspiracy theory, but you're making this
because he wants Lakers-Clippers. He wants Lakers-Clippers.
Well, what happens if the Nuggets make all their shots? The Nuggets can still win. But let's see what happens. Here's Will in Long Beach. Hey, Will, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up, Will?
So I would love for the Clippers to lose this year because they suck and they're the Clipper thing to do. But
yep.
If we have to play them in the playoffs, I'll play them next year. That way I can at least go to a game, and we can show them every game as a Lakers home game, and then they can get their ass out of Staples Center.
So, wait a minute. So that means you're rooting for Denver tonight?
You know it, but I'm a
Excellent.
Lakers fan all the way. You can't root for the Clippers.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Thank you, man. Yeah, see, I think that's the big – and, you know, my timeline reflects this, John, on Twitter – because I've got a lot of people who hate the Clippers because they've gravitated towards me over the years. And I think that the rank-and-file average Laker fan is rooting against the Clippers tonight. Do you agree?
Probably. Because the Clippers haven't won anything, and so for them to say that they belong on the same stage as the Lakers is kind of hard for Laker fans to swallow.
Yeah. Here's the poll that went out. This is almost 3,000 votes. Are you rooting against the Clippers in Game 7, or do you want to see Lakers-Clippers? And the choices are Clippers lose Game 7, or we get the hallway series. How do you think it went?
Well, I think most Laker fans want them to lose. I'd say 80% want the Clippers to lose.
You're right there. 76% want the Clippers to lose Game 7 tonight. Nothing will make me happier.
I don't think they're
nothing will make me happier.
They're going to. Larry in Calabasas. Hey, Larry, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hey,
I just want to make sure it's not 80%. You're just not getting the right people, because I'm sure it's 99%. And we want the Clippers to lose. We'll laugh our asses off. You know, the truth is, and somebody said something about L.A. thing, like, root for them secondarily, like, even if they played the Celtics, who I hate, and I don't think so. I actually want the Clippers to lose then, too, but I'd rather them not even get there. And if they do get there, we're going to beat them anyway. But,
I agree.
But still, I'd rather them not even get there.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I think that's the consensus, John, amongst Laker fans. And, you know, I'll ask you this question again, and it's an easier path to the championship with the Clippers gone. Do you agree with that, right?
Yes. The Clippers are a tougher matchup for the Lakers and the Nuggets, but you got to play the team that's in front of you.
Yeah, but I mean, in the end, John, nobody remembers who beat who to get to the NBA Finals and win a championship. Nobody says, oh, yeah, but in the Western Conference semifinals, so-and-so lost, and they would have had a better chance. Nobody does that.
Right, but you're assuming that I think you said, what did you say yesterday that involved cake?
Oh, that you – I said that Denver and
– You said
and
if Denver
the Lakers,
wins – Bring me my cake.
It'll be a cakewalk. Bring me my cake.
Yeah, I don't think you can say it's going to be a cakewalk. Everybody said that about Detroit Lakers in the NBA Finals in 2004. I had to spend a week in Detroit watching the Lakers get their heads kicked in.
Yeah.
So now, you never know.
You never know, but games. Lakers in five if the Nuggets get there. I'm already calling my shot. I'm planning ahead. Lakers in five against Denver because the Clippers lose tonight.
Yeah, they're not losing tonight, but go ahead.
Then it's the Lakers in seven versus the Celtics.
Oh, Lakers-Celtics would be tremendous.
It would be awesome to take the number 17 against them.
Who are you rooting for tonight, Miami-Boston?
It's really hard, right? Because you hate to root for the Celtics, and yet the Celtics are the team that would be fun to face in the finals. I think I won't take a rooting interest, but I think the Celtics are going to win the series.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm rooting for Miami.
You're rooting against the Celtics?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be cool to face them. It'd be a great finals. Oh, man. Can you imagine? Lakers-Celtics in the finals would be crazy. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. Right now, in the month of September, finally, I'm on the board. I've won one time. Ireland has won four. Lindsay has won two. Jorge has won once. Michael Thompson once. And again, me, one single win. It happened on yesterday, on yesterday's show. But today, it's my game. It's my game. So Ireland, Lindsay, and Jorge will play. We'll do Game of Games coming up next for you. Don't forget, at 3 o'clock, we've got Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Celtics versus Miami. That's coming up for you at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And, of course, this is the home of the NBA playoffs. Friday, we will have Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, whether it's the Clippers or Denver. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is time. First, I want to do a shameless plug, the Culture Pop podcast online right now. If you have not listened to the Bryan Cranston podcast, it is excellent. Also, just dropped an Emmys preview with Mark Ellis from Rotten Tomatoes. You can go to stevemason.com. Easy to click, download, listen there, and subscribe. All right, so I've got the game today. It is called Faster, Longer, Higher. Faster, Longer, Higher. John, Lindsay, and Jorge can all play, and we will start with you, John.
Okay.
What is the largest lottery win in history? Is it A, $250 million, B, $758 million, or C, $1.5 billion? John, which one is it?
I'll go C, $1.5 billion.
Lindsay?
I think it's 758.
758. Jorge?
C.
758?
No, 1.5 billion.
Oh, see, 1.5. Jorge and John both take it. It is $1.586 billion.
I remember thinking I could have won the lottery and still not have had enough money to buy the Clippers. That's kind of sad.
That is sad. That is sad. All right, number two. What and where is the fastest posted speed limit in the country? Is it Montana, Texas, or Idaho? Highest speed limit posted. Montana, Texas, or Idaho? Lindsay?
I'm going to guess Montana.
Montana. Let's see. Jorge?
Texas. I think it's 70 miles an hour.
Texas, 70 miles an hour. John?
I think I know this unless it's changed. When I lived in Texas, there was a place where you could go 85 miles an hour, so I think it's in Texas.
It is in Texas, yes. 85 miles an hour, State Highway 130. Who got that one right? John?
And I Jorge. Think Jorge did too.
And Jorge. And Lindsay, you're not on the board yet.
But nope. Jorge has two. He's right there with me.
Yeah. All right. Here's number three. What's the fastest car on the market? Is it the A, the McLaren Senna, B, the Corvette, or C, the Bugatti Chiron Sports 261? Start with Jorge.
Bugatti Chiron.
Bugatti. John?
He's right. I think it's a Bugatti.
Bugatti. Lindsay?
Jorge sounds like he knows what he's talking about with that, so I'm going to say C as well.
It is the Bugatti Chiron Sport 261, 261 miles per hour it's able to go. It sells for about $3 million. So it's Jorge 3, John 3, Lindsay 1.
Here
let's we
go. Let's go, Jorge. I like
bro,
it.
Let's go.
Like it.
What
today.
Is the most expensive cell phone on Earth? Is it A, the Diamond Crypto smartphone, B, the iPhone 3G button phone, or C, the Stuart Hughes Elite phone? Again, total random guess, John?
right, give me the what was Diamond, the first one? Diamond
Crypto, iPhone 3G button phone, and Stuart Hughes iPhone Elite.
Is the iPhone 3G, is that something you just made up?
You just have to take a shot.
I'll say C. I'm totally guessing.
C, Stuart Hughes, all right? Yeah. My friend Stuart Hughes. Lindsay.
I feel like this was on a previous one, and it's something about diamonds, so whatever the diamond one is.
Lindsay says the diamond one, which is the Stuart Hughes. Yeah.
No, didn't you say there was one?
Oh, no. You're on one, the diamond crypto smartphone. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going Jorge. With A, too. A, the diamond crypto one.
No, I'm sorry. John takes the point. It is the Stuart Hughes iPhone Elite. It sells for $9.4 million. It's covered in 24-karat gold and decorated with a massive pink diamond on its back. Lindsay,
okay, now
you were right there.
Here's the question. Did you make up the iPhone G3 thing?
Yes, I absolutely did.
That's like
did.
The first iPhone, too, man.
That was the first iPhone. It was iPhone 3G. Yeah,
yeah,
I remember that.
Expensive.
I think we're on 5G now. All right, so it's John 4, Jorge 3, Lindsay 1. According to recorded records, what quarterback could throw the farthest? Is it A, Dan Marino, B, Brett Favre, C, Burt Jones? Lindsay.
I'm going to go with Dan Marino.
Dan Marino, George, Jorge.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre, John.
I'm going to go Marino.
You all missed on that. Burt Jones was able to throw the ball 100 yards. 100 yards.
Well, wait a minute. Mahomes has done that on tape.
Again, this is the internet.
Oh, okay.
100 yards for Burt Jones. Dan Marino could throw the ball 65 yards in the air. Brett Favre, 85 yards. And Burt Jones, 100 yards in the air. So it's John 4, Jorge 3, Lindsay 1. All right. What? We got two more of these.
Okay.
What size is the largest TV screen for home use? It is the Panasonic 146, the Sony 2020 120-inch, or the Samsung 292-inch. Which one is the largest?
Who goes first here?
Let's start with Lindsay.
I went first last time, but okay. Let's go with the 146-inch.
146-inch. That is A, the Panasonic. Jorge.
The 120-inch, 120.
The 120, okay. And John?
What's the one they haven't picked?
The Samsung, it's called The Wall.
I'll take The Wall. Give me The Wall.
No.
The Wall is the correct answer. It is 292 inches.
For the record, I would never pick The Wall.
A 292-inch screen with 8K resolution. It is priced at around $75,000.
Jeez. George, had you taken The Wall, I would have taken the one that you took. So you messed up.
I don't think George can catch him at all. So, Ireland, you take the game. Ireland 5, Lindsay 2, Jorge 1, Michael Thompson 1, me 1. Jorge, you gave it a valiant effort there. You were right there.
Let's play the last one anyway. Do you have one more?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, here we go.
What is the largest waterfall on Earth? Is it Niagara Falls, Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, or Angel Falls in Venezuela? George or John, you go first. Niagara, Zimbabwe, or Venezuela?
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. Lindsay.
I also remember this question from a past one. I think it's Angel Falls. I don't remember.
Angel Falls, Jorge?
Yeah, Venezuela. Angel Falls. You know?
Venezuela is correct, Jorge. And Lindsay take the point there. Angel Falls, it's 3,212 feet. That's how high a waterfall it is. That's unbelievable. So there is your game today. And John is now has a commanding lead in the month of September with 5 wins. Congratulations, John. Have you won a month, John?
Yeah, I won the second month. Lindsay won the first. I think Lindsay won June, and I won July.
And then Lindsay won August.
Right.
Yeah, so Lindsay.
So in order to catch Lindsay, I have to win September, but it's only September 15th.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time.
Big
night tonight. Big night tonight. You know, the Denver Nuggets versus the Clippers is a great game. First game of the Eastern Conference Finals, Celtics and Miami. John, who do you like to win the series, Boston and Miami?
That's a great question. Boston has better players. You know, Michael and I were having this debate the other day. Okay. And tell me if you agree. Let's say you're building a team moving forward.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not just for this year, but it's moving forward.
Yes.
Okay.
Got it.
We said, how many people would you trade Jason Tatum one for one for? And so we were talking about the list, and I was shocked at how short the list was. All right, so here's who Michael says is on the list.
Luka,
Anthony Davis,
Giannis,
and Kawhi,
and that's it?
That's it. He said here's Michael's reasoning. Giannis can't shoot as well as Tatum can. Embiid has too many injuries. Dame doesn't have the full complete game that Tatum does. Durant, you don't know if he's going to go back to being Durant because he's coming off of an Achilles. And Zion is too unpredictable. And everybody else is either too old or not as good. And here's the thing. Tatum is 22.
Yeah.
And Michael said, that's it. That's the list. Kawhi, Luka, and AD are the only three people he would take moving forward. And Kawhi is a little risky because he's 30.
Right.
But he's so good that you got to take him.
Whose draft was in? He was the third pick in the draft.
In the Lonzo draft.
Yeah. The Lonzo draft. So
here's the funny thing about that draft. Boston had the number one pick that year, and they traded it to Philadelphia.
Right.
And Philadelphia took Markelle Fultz. Boston wanted Tatum all along, and they got him.
Yeah, they got it what they wanted, and they got assets at the same time.
Right. And then the Lakers could have had him, but they took Lonzo because Magic thought Lonzo was so in his mold.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, Lonzo was great.
Lonzo was great. I love that pick when the Lakers made it. I love Lonzo. I thought he was going to be a great pro. Still might be.
Yeah. No, but Jason Tatum is a player. Jason Tatum is absolutely a player. And then, of course, the second game tonight, John, the nightcap.
Hindenburg! No, I'm getting all these tweets of the Titanic snapping off the back and falling.
Oh, yes, yes.
They aren't losing. No.
Yes,
the Clippers
tonight,
are not
tonight.
Losing this game.
Oh, the dream dies, John. The dream dies.
There
For
is,
every Clipper fan, the dream dies.
There is no way. Steve Ballmer has more money than
Can you
God.
Imagine how loud he's going to cry? He's just going to sob really, really, really
he
loud.
Ran down by the river!
What was that?
That was a Steve Ballmer impression.
Oh, George, you don't know. Mason used to play a game where he would play clips, and you had to determine whether it was Chris Farley as a motivational speaker or it was Steve Ballmer. And I'm telling you, Jorge, it was hard. You couldn't always tell which guy was which.
If we were in the studio,
I could play it for you. But they sound very much alike.
I'll look it up.
So tomorrow we'll let you know that we're continuing with our football week. Coach Sean McVay is going to join us tomorrow on the show, which is awesome. We get to talk to Coach every single Wednesday through the football season. Rams coming off a great win, 2017 over the Cowboys Sunday night. Dodgers versus Padres tonight. That is on Sportsnet LA. And, of course, we've got basketball on ESPN. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals with the Celtics and the Heat, and game seven of the Lakers. Check that. Game seven of the Clippers Nuggets game is coming up a little bit later on ESPN. And I've got one thing to say, John, to wrap up the show. Go Nuggets! All right.
By the way, I want to get this in there before we go.
Yep.
Did you see there's a rumor running pretty rampant that somebody who didn't think they were on the air on a Zoom call in Nebraska says that Big Ten football's coming back?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There are rumors going around that it's going to start in October, and there are also rumors going around that the Pac-12 may start in November.
Right, and the Pac-12 is interesting because they claim to have a testing program where you could take a test for COVID and know within the hour, maybe as soon as 15 minutes, whether or not you had it.
Yeah, that's that rapid test they've been talking about. So, yeah, we may get college football in the Big Ten and in the Pac-12. We'll wait and find out. We may have an answer to that tomorrow, too. All right, coming up next for you, Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Miami and Boston. You're hearing it on the home of the Lakers and the home of the NBA playoffs, 710 ESPN.